Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
If you haven't been around, we've been most recently in a study in James. Hey, I didn't see you sneak in. And it's part of a larger focus that we've been on for about 3 years. We really spent a lot of time on biblical Jesus, who Jesus was when he was here on this earth and who he is today. Spent time on the first century church and how that played out, how the Holy Spirit moved. But all of it is moving into a season of just wanting to go deeper. That's why we're calling it what it is there. Just go deeper. And this picture behind me, what it represents, and there's a lot of teaching behind it over the last like year and a half, so I won't bore you with all of it. But basically represents the kingdom of God living that we can have now. Like when we do the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's that kind of thinking. And it's beyond the kind of the normal lukewarm Christianity or the lukewarm church mentality, and that if we want to follow Jesus and we want to grow to be more like Jesus, how does the scripture lead us to a place that's much more freeing, much more exciting, much more the purpose that we've been designed for, and be able to do that together and as individuals? So that's what led us to James. And so we've been in the letter of James for a little while, for a few weeks now. And since we're going into a new chapter, we'll do what we usually do. With Chris's help, we'll do a little recap of what we've talked to us about so far. James is very up in your face. He's very bold. He doesn't really hold your hand a whole heck of a lot. And really, to get past lukewarm Christianity is kind of what we need. And so far, he has talked to us about suffering and joy and how those two things go together for a Christian, and that we should count it a joy, my brother, when you face trials of many kind because of the perseverance, because of the promises of God, because of the maturity that it brings. That's different than the way the rest of the world thinks. We talked about choosing to be lowly and humbling ourselves before the Lord instead of trying to be at the top of the mountain and the pyre here worldly-wise, which usually gets us knocked off. But when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he lifts us up. We talked about doing the word. He says, don't fool yourself just by reading the word or listening to the word or doing a little devotional makes you feel good or listening to a sermon or taking and going through a chapter and go, oh, that's really cool, and then just have no change from it whatsoever. He says, don't be a fool. Do the word. Just the lean into that. Don't show partiality. Again, there's absolutely no space in the body of Christ for racism, for looking down on others because of a different background that you have, because you have money or because they don't have money, whatever the case may be. And then also faith and works, and that if we have the faith to accept Jesus as leader and forgiver in our lives by acknowledging in our mouths he's the Son of God, believing in our hearts he died and rose again, with your God, I'm not, I'm following you. If yet you say that you have that faith and you're giving God the life back that he created, then there should be change. If there's a God, everything changes from then on out, including how we act and the decisions we make and the way that we think. And so if there's not a response, not the book saves us, but there's not a response, is that faith really life-giving faith, is what he talked to us about. So now we're moving into another category of that, where we're going to be talking about taming the tongue. I've talked about it for the last couple of weeks, but we're going to talk about maybe one of the hardest things for us to do if we're really honest with ourselves. This is an area that undercuts us a lot. So if you want, you got your Bibles. James chapter 3 is where we're going to be heading to. Again, there's Bibles underneath the chairs in these baskets if you want to borrow, keep, steal one of those. And then there's also YouVersion. If you have YouVersion, the app, you can open that up, go to live events, and click that, and you'll see the Shepherd's Fellowship with today's date, and I have all the stuff there that you need. But we're going to dive into this and see what he has for us as he continues to smack us upside the face. Okay. Read a little, talk a little. Let's start out right there in verse 1. James tells us that not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, my sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of many things. So in his introduction, getting up to the tongue aspect, he actually chooses a category to use as an illustration, and that's being a teacher. And his concern here of saying, not many of y'all should be worried about becoming a teacher because we'll have a higher accountability, has a little bit of a different meaning then than it does now, but it still consists today. For instance, back then, in the context that we'd be looking at, again, this is the Christian Jews, the Messianic Jewish people, and those Gentiles who are grafted in through faith that have been dispersed because of persecution, and they're now all over the place. God used that to be able to get that Great Commission rolling into the other country, across the country and into the world. And so as you have that dispersion, it's not like there's a Peter in every corner of that. Does that make sense? There's not a Thomas in every corner of that. There's now a lot of openings for leaders. There's a lot of openings for teachers. And there's a lot of people who have different motivations to want to be a teacher or a leader within the body of Christ. Not all of them are because they're called. And sometimes it's because of insecurities, and you want to have a certain image. Sometimes it could be cockiness or ego issues and wanting to be in charge and those type of things. And the biggest problem within it is a lot of them are not educated in the word to be teaching in the first place. They got saved a very short period of time, in a matter of months, maybe in the first year or two. They're sent out, and they don't have a lot of experience with the word to be able to be teachers. The way that we put it here in the fellowship is we've got a model, discipleship model. We say they're tier two Christians. It's the same thing as baby Christians. They're still learning how to walk on their own. They're still learning how to feed themselves. They're still learning how not to spit up or poop their pants spiritually. You know what I mean? Like they're at this place that they shouldn't be jumping to chair three or chair four where they're discipling others. And so James says, everybody just kind of calm down a little bit. Let God lead that. Let God take and call that forward. Let's make sure we have some mentorship. Let's make sure we have these things. Because when you say, I'm going to be a teacher or a leader, you have a higher accountability to God because you are now over feeding into the lives of others. Do you see that? Does that make sense? And so if you feel a calling from God to take and teach, that's a good thing, but make sure you bring some humility with that. Make sure it is God. Again, from a church planner standpoint, I have a lot of guys that come and say, hey, you planted a church and it's still around, and you know, God's calling me to do a church. What's your number one piece of advice? Don't do it. Don't do it. Unless you know it's God, it will kill you, it will kill your family, and it will end up hurting other people. But if it's God, run with it. Run with it, because he's going to sustain you through all of that. So I don't want to put myself in a position of that type of accountability. Now, the reason I say it still applies today is because all those same problems still happen. We just don't happen to be right after the persecution and disbursement. All those exact same egos, insecurities, people wanting to take and have a position of leadership, whatever the case may be, James tells us, pause, make sure God's calling you to do that, because you will be held accountable for it. So, if you are teaching kids, if you are teaching youth, adults, seniors, if you have a two-person Bible study in your high school, if you have a four-person group at lunch, at your job, and you're the leader of that Bible study, all the way up to elders and pastors. See, it's easy to see when you're looking at me. You're like, yep, you're going to be highly accountable, and you're screwed. You know, but all of us are teachers. All of us that are leading have a higher accountability. So if you find yourself in charge of something, or leading a ministry, or whatever case it be, and you find yourself saying a lot, you know, this week I just didn't really have time to get ready. I'm just going to kind of wing it. I'm going to throw something together. We'll just kind of get through it. That should be a warning sign to you that you need to stop and pray. You need to reprioritize. It's not a warning sign that you should quit. A lot of people hear something like that and they're like, yeah, I'm not doing it well, so I'm just going to quit. You're accountable to that quitting as well. If God's calling you out of that season, great. Be done. Recelebrate what you had before and what he's going to do for you in the future. But if you're just doing it because you just cannot manage your schedule, that's a discipline that you can get help with. That's something we can work with. But you shouldn't be just doing the easy road, pass it through. We're accountable for this. So there's a lot that he's really throwing in there within this first step of things that really goes back to, just we're accountable for. I think, Chris, do I have Luke 12 there? I told Chris I kept changing things around. So if you look in your version of possible scriptures, don't know what I'm going to use or not use, so we'll see what you can check about at home. But to this one kind of stood out to me this week. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they would be demanded the more. That's a little bit of a tongue twister for me today. Basically, it's Spider-Man, isn't it? The more power you have, the more you're... Uncle Ben. Great power comes great responsibility. I even had that down, but now I just don't go off the top of my head and go nuts. So whatever you're trusted with, make sure that you're remembering that you have a great accountability within that for all of us. But the problem that he wants to get into is that a lot of times what trips us up in that is the tongue. So he starts talking about the hoses and the bits. I think everybody kind of knows the general gist of how hoses and bits work, right? You got a hose, big old mammoth hose. If you have a rid one, they put a bit in the mouth, and you can control and direct the entire body of that hose from that one little piece in the mouth. He talks about ships and rudders. I love boats. But again, you have these massive boats that you, I mean, like if you go on a cruise, if you ever look at the rudder compared to the ship, it's insane. I mean, even a fishing boat, whatever the case may be, there's great power through little things when it's controlled correctly. And so he brings those into play. So he's basically saying to us that we have to realize that our tongue has a great amount of power, even though it's a very little part of our body. That actually controls our entire body. The heart controls the tongue controls the rest of the body. The thing came to mind to me on this is a deep theological thought. The movie Aladdin, right? Do you remember Aladdin, the cartoon one? I think I was better anyways. But Chris, if you put that picture in, when he gets real big and says, the phenomenal cosmic power, itty-bitty living space. It's basically what James is trying to get us to when it comes to the tongue. That this little thing has so much power over us. So that's verse 5. So also is the tongue boast of great things. So that's kind of a setup. That's kind of the context. A little bit of a sidebar there. But now getting into more into that focus on the tongue, we're going to continue reading in verse 5. It says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire in the world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of that same God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening of both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So James gives us a masterclass. So our note takers will put it up on screen for you. But it's kind of a masterclass of what the tongue is. And it's not very creative on my part because I basically just wrote down everything that James told us about the tongue. Fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. It stains the whole body. Depending on how we use the tongue. It's set life on a course of fire. That's what he said, I think. That doesn't make sense to me. I'll be here in a moment. Set on fire by hell, untamable, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. If you have a problem with your mouth, in other words, if you're sitting in here today, I can guarantee you have a problem with your mouth somewhere. Whether it be critical, racist jokes, gossip, slander, breathing death into something instead of life by the way you speak in a moment, that one person you just cannot stand walking down the street towards you in that moment, I guarantee you we have problems with our mouth. Some of us might do better than others, but in reality, our tongue on its own in the sinful body is fire, is a world of unrighteousness, it stains the whole body. So when we take and come across those moments, if we want to get past that lukewarmness into the kingdom of God living, we got to get to the point where we stop going, oops, I did it again. Oh, Britney Spears, right? It's not cute. Well, you don't understand, it's just with these three or four people, and that's just kind of what we do. It's not cute. It's different than what God has created you to be. We all need a space to blow off steam. I get that. But that's not the same thing as what we're talking about here. speaking death, speaking curse, speaking nastiness into the world is a problem. He came up with this illustration of the stream. Now, I was talking about Judson Hills. Monty, did you ever go up to the stream?
Yes.
Brett, did you ever go up to the stream? Did you? It's a hike. It's a hike. I don't think we ever took you up there. Up in the hills of Judson Hills, on the hill back beyond the lean-tos, which were bad enough as it is, because the women, they got cabins. Okay, and if you know, cabins are cabins. You know, they're nice set up, everything, they're down. You actually go down a hill, just a slight hill, to get to the cabin. And guys have to go up a steep hill to get to a lean-to, which is three walls, not four. And it was a steep hill. It was a steep hill. Should have had my dad here. Everybody was nice to Tara because her parents are here. I should have my dad here. My wife's being. But it was a heck of a walk. But when you went there, you always took like a couple of jugs, empty jugs of like that, usually for milk jugs, and you would fill them up because it was always cool. It was always awesome. It was always just pure. But I tell you this, even in my young years when I had energy to do that, if it was a 50-50 shot, if I was going to get the good water or if I was going to get salty, muddy water, there's no way in Hades I would walk that path. It's just, I couldn't trust it. It wouldn't be refreshing anymore. It wouldn't be life-giving anymore. The same thing with us. If we're taking a claiming to be Christians, you put up that red flag and people are now watching to see whether or not you're actually living it, and you tell them that, oh, God changes my life and everything else, and then you're spitting out 50%, 60%, even 10% of mud, salt water. No one trusts that. No one trusts that. So he says, it should not be this way, and our tongue is the main place from that. The same mouth, blessings and cursings ought not to be so. So we have to watch those type of things. The issue is, no human can tame the tongue. No, by yourself. If you're sitting here and going, you know what, Tom, you're right, I'm going to do better at work, you cannot do it by yourself, according to James. It takes more than that. It's more than, I got to give it the old college try again. The example he gives here is the taming of animals. And a lot of you guys like animals, right? Everybody likes animals. How many dog people do we have? Okay, how many cat people? How many raise their hands both times? That's a little weird. That's a little freaky to me. Huh? You don't have them?
I have both.
Oh, okay. We do have both. We have two cats. Maggie, who's old and can barely see and is pretty much deaf. That's the one I like. Millie, who is supposed to be Emily's support animal. Emily is Millie's support person. And then we got this dog. Chris, you put the dog up. Look how ugly this thing is. She's coming. Well, here's the thing. So after Millie didn't work out to be the support animal for Emily's anxiety, then came up the idea for Moose, because golden doodles are supposed to be great for anxiety. And we spent more money on that dumb dog than I would ever thought I would spend on a dog. And then we spent more money than I ever thought I'd spend on training the dog, to be a support animal, to be able to help Emily from an anxiety standpoint, and he does none of that. But he does know a lot more tricks than dogs I've had in my past. So we've always been outdoor dog people. So he does know how to wait to go outside to go to the bathroom. He does know how to sit, how to heel. Granted, when he wants to. He knows how to sit, heel, shake, lay down, the whole nine yards. He's actually a pretty good dog. The one thing I've always wanted a dog and never had until now is I always wanted a dog that could get in the truck with you and ride with you. You know, there's something romantic about that, not between me and the dog, but just to that thought process of romance with the dog. And he does that. He does pretty good. If he wants to run back and forth, he's in the back. He can sit when he sits up front. But the one thing that dumb thing could not stop doing is barking, and it's a really obnoxious bark. Really obnoxious. If it is Jenny or Emily or myself coming in and he hears the garage door, bah, 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 it's just like, Moose, it's Mom, calm down. Bah, 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 just can't. He barks a lot. Let's see, what is it? I mean, like, if we get a delivery, it's sanity. We've lost some curtains. We've lost a candle that got knocked over by a table. Christmas tree knocked over once before. He's really notorious. And I tried this little thing that, like, when they bark, it sends out a signal that's supposed to annoy the dog. That worked for like a week. And then he's like, is it worth the signal? Yes, I think it's worth the signal. The only thing that's worked, and even that is kind of losing itself a little bit, is the spray bottle. Now, this usually makes people in the front rows nervous, as you never know what I'm going to do. I'm so glad you came today. Do you remember me saying that at the beginning of church? I knew what I was thinking. Kathy, did I get you by accident? Good. Allie never sits up front. She's always usually in the second row, like right back in there. I can't get that. Oh, we're doing a sermon, weren't we? I'm sorry. I'm really kind of enjoying this. That's the only thing that shuts that dog up. He'll bark, 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 and then you get it out, and they seize it in your hand, and they're like, look at you like, and they'll just sit there, you won't bark as much. Still, sometimes he barks, but for the most part, he knows whether or not it's worth it to him or not, to get that water, to get that cleansing into it. So if I take this little example I came up with only so I could abuse people, then we need cleansed as well. That's the aspect of this. It's not so much as just bugging people with it. And I almost got a big water gun thing, I'm just saying. I almost did. But I don't know if I could hit Zeke from back here or not. I'd try. But it comes down to the cleansing if we can't do it ourselves. So here's some ideas for you. We'll put these on the screen next. A little bit smaller. There's a lot of good ideas within that that might apply to you, might not. Some of them absolutely will, such as surrendering your heart to God. If it says you can't do it yourself, what he's hinting at is it takes the Lord. So surrendering your heart to God. If you've not accepted Jesus as leader and forgiver in your life, it's a great time to do so because it's today. Not because you're TSF or not because of it's TJ, right? AJ and TJ always messes me up. TJ. AJ. AJ, son of a gun. It's AJ's birthday. Great day to get saved for AJ's birthday. How you doing there, bud? Did I mention that you're shy? He keeps telling me he's 13. I think he's 11. But today is always a good day for salvation. So start out, if you want to control your tongue, you need the Lord. And if you don't have the Lord in you and with you, accept him today. I would love that. I'd love to talk to you at the church about that as well. Some other things is relying on God's strength. I put a couple scriptures up there if you want to check them out as well that go along with that. Dedicate yourself daily. It is not easy. Some of us will have it harder than others, but it's not easy for any of us. Where this is a daily commitment, it's almost like an addiction, the way that we treat our mouth. It's almost like addiction. It's a daily choice. Prayer for awareness. Got Psalms 19 with that. Pray that God helps you to see it in yourself, to be able to catch it, maybe even before it starts. Surrender your right to complain. That's a big one for us. We all think that we have a right to get my opinion out there. I get a right to complain. I get a right to say things the way I want to say them, and that's my social media, and I can do what I want on it. Surrender your right to complain. We surrender our rights so that we can have the rights of our Lord. Ask for forgiveness for unloving words. That's a shocker, isn't it? When you mess up, you actually go back to the person and say, hey, I'm sorry that I kind of unloaded there. Asking for forgiveness when you mess up is just as much of your testimony as any success that you have. And someone sees that you care enough to come back. If you don't, then they think that that's just the way you are. Be slow to speak. Seek God's guidance. Choose your words carefully. Sow life-giving words instead of words that bring death. And just remember the power of words. Because when you don't control your tongue, you devastate people. And you devastate your own heart. But when you control it, it can be quite a blessing. I've shared a story before, I don't know, a couple times, but I remember there was a pastor I had when I was in high school. His name was Pastor Douse. And it was a little American Baptist church, and it was not the healthiest church. And it was back in the early 80s. And They didn't really like Pastor Dowse that much. He didn't quite fit their environment. I believe they ended up getting fired for using the NIV version. Was what? Now, but in fairness, that was a big controversy back in those days, you know, when NIV first came out. But still, goofy. It's the same church that kicked out a guy for teaching our Sunday school class about the gifts of the Spirit. So those challenges there. It was a tough place to be. And it was a place that when you were a kid, you just shut up and stay in the background type place. But Pastor Dowse has always kind of worked past that. And I remember going to, again, Judson Hills, and he was our camp pastor that year. And that was the year I first felt any kind of calling into full-time ministry, which, again, I'm accountable for. And I talked to him about it, and there wasn't in those circles a lot of encouragement, again, at that age. But he listened a lot. I don't remember anything he really said about it at camp, but he listened. And that was more than what you normally got. And so we get down camp and we go back, you know, the church, and you get up and you do your camp moment and you talk a little bit about camp and stuff. And at the end of that particular church service, we always close out in prayer, and the pastor asks some adult man within the church. It wasn't really open to women or kids. Some adult man to close the service with prayer. And I remember as we stood, he said, Tommy Hypes, will you close us in prayer? And I will tell you this, he took heat for it. There were people not happy in that church that day. But it was his way to encourage me in the calling that I was called to. And I still speak about that. Let's see. Tara and I would have been in 10th grade. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, since about 10th grade, I still speak of that. I've sought him out to thank him for that just within the last 10 years. I speak to his daughter because she talks about how those were very hard years for him, so him to know that he encouraged anybody made a difference. Our speech makes a very, very big difference. I don't remember a sermon that he gave, but I remember that moment. You have those opportunities as well. We all are leaders, and we all are followers. So use what authority, what platform, what relationship, what currency you have to be encouraging others and to lead them to the Lord. There is no place for hate speech, gossip, lies. Talked to a new friend on Thursday about the power of lies in their past church experience and how that much that hurts, betrayal, favoritism, even mean sarcasm. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I'm a very sarcastic person. Oh, no. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I'm also a pretty critical person. I look at things first from a critical standpoint, and I've had to grow in that. But even within that, I know, first off, my sarcasm generally is funny, no matter what you say. And it's usually big enough that it's pretty evident that it's not anything that would be factual. But when I'm tired, or if I'm going through a spell of feeling depressed, or whatever the case would be, I can get sharp. And it's okay for you to say it to me, that came off sharp. Or that didn't hit me right today. I might be in great shape. You might be in a bad spot that day. That hit sharp. I'm okay with that. Because when it's joking and someone says, hey, I feel like I'm part of the family because you joked with me today, which I've heard, that's great. But when I accidentally hurt somebody, I want to be accountable to that. So we even have to watch our sarcasm and how critical we are when it comes to things and how we see things. So with that, I'll tell you what, I want to pray over it with you guys, let you have some moments of spirit. I'm going to bring the team on up. But if we're building to this beach mentality of the calm waters before us, the worship that's before us, to move outside of that lukewarmness of the church, it makes conscious choice decisions that James brings to us. So the question comes as we go into the prayer today, without an insert or without some kind of special illustration or anything, just what is the Spirit saying to you about your speech and whether or not it's life-giving or it's hurting you or hurting others?
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.